Tom Karkel in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Going to be a mixture of sun and clouds. Do have a chance for showers, maybe even some thunderstorms. We'll have a high today near 80 degrees. Temperature-wise, around southeast Wisconsin, with the sun shining at this hour, we go to Kenosha, where the first reading that we get is 58. 55 now in Burlington. In Milwaukee, it's 61. It is 60 degrees in Racine. Kenosha Unified School District started what could be a lengthy process of creating a new pay structure for teachers and other district employees with a discussion on the creation of a definition for base pay. Public unions under Act 10 can only bargain for wage increases based on the rate of inflation as applied to the base pay. Unlike other school districts, though, in the state, Kenosha Unified has yet to define base pay. It can range from the minimum hiring salary to what each teacher and staff member is currently paid. Once the definition is determined, though, it cannot be changed. Superintendent Sue Savaglio-Jarvis said the goal, creating a sustainable salary structure that makes the district competitive.
I have no doubt we will accomplish this goal because it is vital to be competitive in today's hiring market and to do what is necessary to retain and recruit highly qualified staff who work so hard to ensure the success of every student. Our students and families are counting on us to provide the best staff in our area and in our schools. We can do this.
Meanwhile, Acting Education Association member Chris Perillo, the executive director, urged the district to reach out to the union, ask for some help.
We are partners with you. We want to meet with you. I've sent a letter to the superintendent indicating that our interest in meeting with you. We can solve these problems. We can do it in months or weeks, not years. And we can put Kenosha on the map as making real progress towards the goals that we have set for us.
It was reiterated several times in the discussion that no one in the district would see a pay reduction, no matter what the board does. Another meeting to discuss, possibly vote on a definition of base pay, scheduled for next Monday. First political controversy of the season at the local level involves Deputy Racine County District Attorney Patricia Hansen admitting that she forgot to remove a few remaining photographs of uniformed law enforcement officers from her social media postings as she's running for district attorney this fall. That lack of swift action coming after being notified with an email from the city attorney of Racine, Scott Letney, about such photographs on her campaign website and social media postings violating what is known as the Hatch Act. Local police chiefs also contacted Hansen about it, so the penalties for violating the Hatch Act can include loss of federal funding. Now, about a dozen complaints have also been filed at this about the same time, done by Kelly Gallagher Dimler. Now, she's a member of the Racine County Democratic Party. The party, of course, backing Kenosha Assistant DA Tom Binger for the Racine County DA's job. As for Hansen, she says it was an inadvertent error when claiming that she only thought the Hatch Act applied to federal agencies, realizes now that it's locals accepting federal funding that are also affected. Binger's reaction to that, ignorance is no excuse. $500,000 forgivable loan. It's with the city of Racine now. The city going to try to help residents who have lead water service lines and maybe want to replace those lines in certain areas near their home. WRJN's Janet Hoff has details.
It's estimated that the Racine Water Utility needs to replace about 9,500 lead services in the public right-of-way. But under Wisconsin Public Service Commission rules, the utility cannot pay for the replacement of those lines on private property, which is estimated to cost about $2,500. Since the crisis in Flint, Michigan, the EPA and DNR have recommended that lead service lines on public and private property be replaced at the same time. In the past few months, a program has been developed for replacing the lines. Those along Cleveland Avenue will be first, followed by North Memorial Drive. According to Keith Haas, the city director of water and wastewater, homeowners will be able to select a pre-qualified plumber who will then be reimbursed by the city. The loan is expected to pay for about 200 replacement projects. The city's finance and public works committees will discuss the projects at their meetings next week. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Veteran Milwaukee area radio show host Eric Vaughn has died. This happened at his home from an apparent heart attack. His full name was Eric Von Bordley. He was a leading voice in Black Talk Radio in Milwaukee. The journalist and broadcaster, also founder of the online men's magazine Brain, Brawn, and Body. And once again, it's our sad duty to report another member of the WRJN family has passed away. Though Tom Kramer was not one of the many familiar voices. He was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy who made sure that our candidate forums were properly set up for broadcast, all the needed equipment, 11 for mayor in the front lobby of our building a few years back, as well as the many remote broadcasts we did. On our 85th anniversary show just 5 years ago, which he also got up for and set that all up, Tom Cramer explained why he did it all.
I've worked at other stations, but this station has always been the best one I've ever worked at before. It doesn't seem to matter who's in charge or who's running things. It's always been a quality operation and with some of the best people.
We lost Tom Cramer this week at the too young age of 58. His passing coming on the heels of the WRJN family, also recently losing one-time news director Don Edmark and learning of the death of former announcer and salesman David Armstrong. We shall miss them all. A changing of the guard, so to speak, coming to the Kenosha Sheriff's Department as Chief Deputy Charles Smith plans to retire at the end of the year, along with the upcoming retirement of Emergency Management Director Lieutenant Gil Benn, which factors into a chain reaction set of promotions. Captain Mark Levin, with 26 years on the department, is going to become the new Chief Deputy. Lieutenant Justin Miller, the captain in his 14th year. Sergeant Steve Baranis fills one lieutenant's position. Sergeant Horace Staples will fill another. Detective Neil Paulson promoted to sergeant. Detective Ray Merlin gets promoted to sergeant. And Deputy Josh Schreiner, he becomes a detective. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave scheduling his next community listening session for Wednesday, September the 14th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Sturtevant Village Hall. Any issues related to county government, that's fair game, no appointment needed. Noting that Sturtevant has a lot of good news to share lately with its successful tax incremental district, Delagrave says he welcomes questions or comments regarding the new TID, along with the Rails to Trails initiative, the Ridgewood Care Center, the Event Center request from the city, forthcoming 2017 budget proposal he'll be giving to the county board October the 4th. Members of the county executive staff will also be at that listening session, as well as some department heads. Racine County's Public Works and Parks and Facilities Committee met yesterday at the Isgrove office complex, most of them on speakerphone, and they supported funding the creation of traffic lights at Highway K on the East Frontage Road. This in response, of course, to what's expected to be much more truck traffic developing with the newly launched Caledonia Business Park.
I brought this issue up with our Traffic Safety Commission probably 2 years ago, and I noted to the DOT that I felt that traffic control was needed at that intersection, and that predates any mention of the Wisp Park and DeBack development plan that was just recently broke ground.
Julie Anderson, the county's Public Works and Development Services Director, saying Caledonia and the county will split their share of the cost of the lights, $75,000 each, the state covering the rest at $100,000. This is only the east side of the I at K, she noted. The entire interchange is under DOT review. Caledonia's Fire Chief Richard Rader, interested in the new signals having interruption device capability for emergency vehicles, unknown at this point, according to Anderson. The redevelopers of the Heritage House building in downtown Kenosha, which is a landmark, of course, known for years as the Elks Club, they're as optimistic as ever that this $20 million project will become reality. Gorman & Company and one of its lenders recently received an $800,000 federal grant that'll serve as a catalyst for important new market tax credits, final piece of the financing puzzle, according to Gorman's executive Ted Matcom. The next round of credits that'll be awarded by the end of the year. But meanwhile, the Madison-based company is continuing to do site work. In addition to rehabbing the existing structure, the developer wants to add another building, create space for 75 rooms, create a restaurant, bar, and other facilities. And the public invited tomorrow to the new $19 million cancer center on the campus of Wheaton Franciscan All Saints, an open house between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Construction began last fall to expand the existing one-floor and 15,000-square-foot facility to add another level and essentially double the amount of space. Visitors should park vehicles in the ramp next to the center, then walk in through the main doors on Hope Drive. WRJN newscasts are in podcast form. They're on our webpage. Go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.